let me ask you, because I've been thinking a lot about, you guys are, I've read through your website, and you identify yourselves as an art punk band, an art rock band, and I've been thinking a lot about kind of art as it relates to music. Obviously, you guys make art with music, but do you see yourselves as a band, as an art in itself? Like, are you as a band a work of art, making art, or are you just a band making art?
Huh, that's a really good question.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm a visual artist too, and like my partner went through Concordia, and I sat in with some classes and stuff, and there's always these conversations about like, what is art? Which can both be like infuriating and informative. She's telling me about like this one class that she had where the teacher held up an apple and was like, is this art? And, you know, people argue about it and then whip the apple against the wall and explode it on the wall. And they're like, well, what about now? I think that that's kind of like, art is just like however you express yourself. And I always feel like Grimelda is like deeply personal to us. So in the fact that like we're not just trying to like fit into the conventions of the music industry and we do like what we think is cool, I feel like we're always like constantly just like expressing what we want to make. And I think that that kind of defines art.
Totally.
So in that way, I do kind of see it as like art punk. It's so deeply us, our friendship. We've known each other for like 21 years now. So there's like a lot of, we could both be in other bands that play music, but I don't know if we could both find someone else to do this.
It's
like really a deeply personal connection with each other and with like what we want to make for us.
Totally. And I've never really thought of the band itself as art, I guess, or maybe I do, but I just never, like, not intentionally. But I guess I would say that I agree with that. Just
you're very trepidatious about this.
Especially like, our live show, like, people have commented on how it, like, verges on performance art. So, like, the actual, it's not just, like, we make songs and the music is the art. It's just, like, the live show is, like, kind of almost the entire thing. So it's, like, this very impermanent, in-the-moment expression. So, yeah, that's a cool question. I would say I agree that the band itself is the art.
And, like, we do everything from like the art of booking tours that you do and like management and like finding the right places to be, and I do all the visual art, music video direction, art direction stuff of that. So like
like every aspect of
no
it,
no artistic aspect of it is outsourced to someone else. So like I guess
since we're in the age of like DIY, and I noticed that like reading your website that like you're doing everything, is there any, like, impetus for you guys to be like, oh, we want to go to a label, or, like, we want, like, a promoter, or, like, is there anything that you would outsource at this point?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean,
well, actually, literally everything. We are on a label called Transistor 66 out of Winnipeg. They're a great DIY label that's been around for, like, 20 years or something, I think. And it's great because they're fairly hands-off. They, like, help us with a few things there. It's kind of one of those relationships where they're just like, anytime you need anything, just ask, and if we can do it, we'll do our best kind of thing. But it's nice because they still just let us do everything however we want, so there's, like, full artistic freedom, which is really nice. And I want to give a caveat to the doing everything DIY thing, because we do super rely on, like, the DIY community, and, definitely there's so many people that like help us on the road, that like help us with shows, that like get recordings done and just like teach us like how to do things, how to like get to Wales to like play a showcase. And like when you're just doing those things for the first time, it can be confusing. Grant writing too is like a tough one to like wrap your head around. So like there's no way we could do this on our own, but I think we do really enjoy having that control, I guess, of like our vision, because it is like pretty important to us to be
I would never let anyone else draw the album cover.
Yeah, stuff like that.
I would just be like, I would have to die for that to happen.
Totally.
Which, like, but then I bitch and complain that I have to draw an album cover.
Yeah. You let me do the disc art on the CDs sometimes. That's really fun.
I love that. It's so bad.
It's always really bad. It's great. But yeah, definitely if a booking agent wants to book us a tour, like, yeah. I mean, I like booking tours. It's great. But, like, if someone wants to do it for us that can do it better than me, hell yeah.
So much of it is trial and error. Like, we do it ourselves and then fail for 20 years. And now we can kind of do it ourselves because we've just done trial and error for so long.
Yeah, what is it, 100 hours and then you become good at something? Or that's
I think it's like 5,000 hours and then you become a master or something.
Yeah, we put in that time for sure.
Yeah, we're masters.
Masters of everything. Grimelda, who you just heard part two of the interview with. I got to chat with them down at South by Southwest at the Canada House Day Showcase is more where I did this chatting with them. And then also they played at the Rain Showcase. And I think they played another show, which I didn't catch at all. But regardless, very noisy, very ridiculous. And, you know, I am a mark for such things. And, yeah, definitely ridiculous. Now, it's, I talked about this during the first part of the show, but just in case you missed it, well, also, you missed an interview with Wake, which you should maybe go to cjlo.com and check out when you have a chance. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, although I am really behind on uploading shows, I've got to get on that. I apologize to all of you. I especially apologize to Strig Empire because I have their entire session that I didn't post yet because I am lazy and a piece of human garbage. But the point is that that's not what we're talking about right now. You can go there and I will be putting those up in due time. So stay tuned for that. But what I explained during that Wake interview, to circle back around, was that this year South by Southwest had a bit of a controversy because it was discovered through, I guess, people paying attention at some point pretty late in the game that the Army was a super sponsor, the U.S. Army, of course, being that, you know, it's in the U.S. and in Texas, there'd be no other way. And, you know, I guess I need to set that up because this next question that I posed to them is about South By this year and the kind of controversy that surrounded that. As I said before, 60 bands or so pulled out of the festival over this and also the what used to be called Raytheon, which is basically a, you know, defense company, a.k.a., you know, creating missiles because you need to defend yourself with a missile. Who have been selling weapons to the Middle East, particularly a country that, you know, is currently destroying, you know, an entire area next to them through missiles and just invasions in force and just murdering all the people there, including something like 30,000 children. 10,000 children, 3,000 people, 10,000 children. Only a third of them are kids. So, you know, definitely enemy combatants there with their childrenness, I guess. Pretty bad optics for anyone that is a actual human person and not a monster. But the point is that Raytheon supplies those missiles, and because of that, that's the other main reason for bands pulling out of this. And the two kind of got conflated together. Now, South By's explanation, this I didn't go into, also included the idea that the military is kind of the reason why we have a lot of the things we have. For example, the internet, as we know it, started as a military application of communication, and then it got pushed out to the rest of us. Same with like cell phones and satellite phones, things like that. Those were also first used in the military in order to then eventually come to us. And the argument the South By made, particularly for Raytheon coming, was that you have to have those particular people there to, you know, kind of say what's coming. That having the military there, having these defense contractors there, means that we'll get a preview of what's coming up. And, like, sure, that's something you can say. However, maybe not the best time for it. Maybe not the best instance in which to have them or to make that argument. Like when there's actively a very high profile bunch of bombings going on and you're a missile company. It's not a great look, is all I'm saying. And also, you're a music festival, so, like, why would this even be a thing that you do? This will be a recurring thing that happens over the next couple weeks because, you know, it is very strange. It's a strange thing, and it's a strange situation. Anyway, I did ask Romilda about this, to go back to this interview that I'm supposed to be doing and talking about. So here is Grimelda. As I pose this question to them, here is part three of this interview with them. Keep it locked, CJLO 1690M. This is Grade A Explosives, South by Southwest Recap, part one.
Let me ask you about South by this year, because I don't know if you're aware, but apparently there's a bunch of bands that have pulled out for some reason. I'm not going to ask you about, you know, you guys playing here, because, like, for me, that's kind of inconsequential. But... well, not totally inconsequential, but anyway, yeah. It's not for the question. But I do want to know that since you are a band that is kind of more in the kind of art realm, do you think that art still has the same kind of protest power that it used to have at one point in time, now that, you know, capitalism rules us all and, like, people seem to care less and less about, I guess, pure art?
I think Canadians are wimps and we need to start throwing bricks through windows, because not playing your art kind of just hurts you and all your friends and all the people who are kind enough to sponsor this stuff. But if you went to France and this kind of shit was happening, there would be riots in the streets.
That's true.
And I think that we need to do that, actually. I kind of struggle to reconcile how a band at our level with, like, not a ton of a following from a very remote place in Canada pulling out of the festival will do anything to help the cause.
Yeah.
If anything, it's just kind of hurting the very kind people like Range Magazine,
Sask Music,
Canada House, people who have really nothing to do with all the issues here,
yeah,
and are just kind of, like, subjected to the fact that the military industrial complex is sponsoring these things. Obviously, we're not happy about any kind of genocide,
right,
or injustice.
No. I mean, what a bold stance to take, not happy about dead genocide.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know what pulling out would really do for us other than put us $5,000 in debt that we don't have because we try to do this as much as we can rather than working jobs.
What would it do for anyone else either, really, right? We don't have any sort of, like, clout.
1000% stand behind, like,
right.
I will not go see a headliner if they decide to pull out. I'm, like, in solidarity with that. It's just kind of a privilege that we don't have to be able to pull out. Not everyone has that, and we have to kind of recognize that, but, like, ultimately all the artists who are here and doing their showcase anyway are on that side. I've heard, like, Free Palestine from literally every show we've gone to. Mm-hmm. It's all over the place.
So... well, that's sort of the interesting thing, too, is, like, I also agree that, like, you know, genocide is bad, and that's what's happening right now, but, like, I also have a weird, because I'm American, so, like, it doesn't surprise me at all that the army is here doing things. It more surprises me that Raytheon is here, because, like, missile companies probably shouldn't be there. That's very specific, but, like, very... I'm a split mind about it, because on one hand, it's like, it is drawing attention to it, but on the other hand, it's like, is it going to accomplish anything? Like, it's not like the army is losing money based on this, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, is that going to stop another country, like, destroying and murdering people? I don't know.
Yeah. solidarity is always important. But at the end of the day, like, we're just trying to make cool music for people, and, like, you know, we do what we can when we can, and for us it's kind of important to use our voice where it matters. Like, we show up for friends and things in our own province where we can directly influence, like, city council to make different choices, to protest different things. In Saskatchewan, where we're from right now, the premier of Saskatchewan, Scott Moe, like, cut back sex ed and made it so that essentially teachers in schools have to out their trans students to their parents.
It's shameful.
You know,
shameful.
We showed up for that because we can make a difference there.
Yeah.
Internationally, I understand that some artists want to try to make a difference when they can there, and I hope that it does kind of get seen on the world stage.
Yeah.
But for us and our level, we just want to help, like, immediate friends, immediately our home, our province. And I think everyone needs to, like, start grassroots and work their way out if they can.
Totally.
Somebody in Montreal, and I would like to get your takes on this. I was told that Saskatoon was, I think, in like 2012, the grindcore capital of Canada. Is that factual, or is that something that you've made up?
I haven't heard anyone mention that for years now, but
yeah, that it was That's a real thing. That's a real thing. Just one guy who told me that.
Yeah, maybe even a little earlier than 2012. I guess that was like more than 10 years ago already.
Some weird trivia is like when we started this band, we were like trying to get another like 4-piece rock band going, but the other two guys weren't like always down to jam weird stuff with us. So when we started what is now Grimella, used to be called The Faps, we picked that name because it's like a jerking off bullshit name. And the idea for like The Faps was that him and I would go off and do a grindcore side project in like 2011. Eventually the other two guys couldn't play as often and like The Faps ended up being our main thing.
Yeah.
And you know,
like we don't know how to play grindcore, so it kind of became something else. But yeah,
I love grindcore.
Yeah, Saskatoon has a pretty sick punk history. Lots of good grind bands back in the day.
I mean, I was told by a guy what did he call himself? Von Bomb? And he had Eat Ish tattooed on his ass, so like, I didn't know what to think about any of that. Like,
no, that's
he was also super drunk. So
that's
like,
the kind of guy that would know that fact.
Exactly. Sure. See, but like, also
we moved to Saskatoon from like southern Saskatchewan in 2010, 11, 2012, around there.
Yeah.
So I think we sort of missed the heyday of grindcore there. But yeah, it's a cool part of the foundation of the music community there.
All right. Good to know. Facts. Fact checked.
There we go.
Fact check. Yeah. Wikipedia fact checked. Here we go. You're both in this band. You do a lot of things in it. Art, music, booking. What's the worst musical instrument?
What's the worst musical instrument?
Yes. Correct.
No such thing.
A diplomat in our midst. Okay.
There is no such thing. I think it depends on who is playing it.
Okay.
And I don't know. I'm trying to think of like the least forgiving instruments. So like maybe like banjo, violin, or djembe. If like some ass playing any of those things,
djembe.
Yeah.
As a drummer, djembe. I can't count how many times I go to like a jam at a campfire. And they're like, "You're a drummer here," and I just like want to throw the dish into the fire.
Well, I mean. If you can play the djembe, like, great. It would sound great. But, I don't know. That's probably maybe the most common, like, some ass just, like, being so obnoxious on, like, a hand drawing. Oh, like, come on.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Blue.
by, who just got done playing the Canada House. You're going to be playing at Range Magazine Showcase. What's next after this? What's going on? Like, are you playing other things here? Are you on tour? Is there another album you guys are working on? What's coming up in the future?
Oh boy, kind of all of that. I don't know. Are we allowed to say some of those things?
Yeah. We have one more unofficial showcase at South By, which is kind of like ask last minute to come play with Hardy at Hotel Vegas on Saturday.
Okay. Yeah.
So, like, Range is the reason we're here. Tomorrow is our very big thing. Then we're doing that. After South By, we both fly back to our respective homes. Skylar's in Halifax now, and I'm in Saskatoon still.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be doing, like, a tour through, basically playing a ton of shows through June around North by Northeast.
Okay.
And we're the performance at North by Northeast in June. We'll be playing around Montreal, the GTA. And then on our downtime from like that month, we're just going to be kind of sitting, writing and recording when we can. Sending demos back and forth with an idea of the next album for like 2025.
Yeah. Since we're geographically so far away from each other, we're trying to like dive into the actually demoing stuff and like sharing ideas that way, which can be tough when you're kind of just learning how to do that, but actually going to music production school, so I kind of have a bit of a handle on it, so I can just like pump out song ideas and send them back and forth. So it's like, it's weird, but it's a cool new way to kind of like explore creating art. I'm always kind of a big fan of putting like some sort of boundaries on like art creation. I know it's like more common for people to be like, do whatever you want, like no limits, blah blah, and like, yeah, definitely, but like try writing a song in 2 hours using like only these things.
Yeah.
Like that can be a really cool thing.
Is that a new kind of approach that you're taking, sending demos back and forth, or is that how you have been doing it in the past in combination, I guess, with doing stuff together?
I don't know. I guess we're mostly the no limits kind of thing, but we do try to like, sometimes we'll spend a ton of time on a song and really fine-tune it. Other times we're like, okay, just like get it done in a day. Don't overthink it. Just like something fun and noisy and whatever. So, and the new album we're working on is hopefully going to be pretty collaborative with like our friends and peers. So it's like we're trying to bring more people in that respect, like actually writing the songs, doing fun shit like that.
Becoming a Grimelda collective more than...
Yeah, which like we've kind of like dabbled in that stuff before. We've done like shows where we're a 9-piece band with like
that's
a bunch
crazy.
Of friends. That's like super fun. But yeah, basically just working on an album and like playing some more festivals and some touring in June and possibly in August. Just in Canada so far. But...